The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
While the crowd was pressing in on Jesus and listening to the word of God, he was standing by the lake of Gennesaret. He saw two boats there alongside the lake. The fishermen had disembarked and were washing their nets. Getting into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, he asked him to put out a short distance from the shore. Then he sat down and taught the crowds from the boat. After he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into deep water and lower your nets for a catch." Simon said in reply, "Master, we have worked hard all night and have caught nothing, but at your command, I will lower the nets." When they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their nets were tearing. They signaled to their partners in the other boat to come to help them. They came and filled both boats, so that the boats were in danger of sinking. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at the knees of Jesus and said, "Depart from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." For astonishment at the catch of fish they had made seized him and all those with him, and likewise James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners of Simon. Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on you will be catching men." When they brought their boats to the shore, they left everything and followed him. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
When I was in college, this won't be a surprise to you. When I was in college at Baylor, I had a work-study job at the climbing wall at Baylor. And that's kind of how I got started with the whole rock climbing thing in my life. And there was somebody that I worked with named Ron. And Ron and I, at first, I don't know, we just kind of climbed in the same group of people, but we didn't know each other all that well. But then one of the primary responsibilities that we had at the climbing wall was to set routes. So you have big buckets of plastic holds, you know, colored plastic holds, and you'd have to essentially imagine a route, and you know, you bolt it up to the wall. And that wall is actually pretty tall. It was like 54 feet or something like that. So, you know, setting a route could take a little while. You're hanging on the rope and doing all that stuff. And so on one particular occasion, Ron and I were working together. And how should I put Ron? He's a little bit more, he runs a little hotter than I do, you know, in terms of his temper, right? I'm sort of like very even keeled, and he's like a little bit hotter than me, let's just put it that way. And so I said something, and then there's two types of bolts that we use. I know this just sounds like a crazy story, but it'll make some sense later on. But there are two types of bolts that you use. And I happen to use one particular bolt for this one particular hold. And he points out and he's like, "Why'd you use that bolt on that hold?" I was like, "Because, you know, it interfaces with that hold correctly." He goes, "You know those bolts spin. Why'd you use it?" I said, "Well, it's been up for a month and it hasn't spun yet." And he proceeds to walk up to the hold, and with his palm, he hits it like three times and spins it on purpose. And oh my God, I was just like, "What's your problem, man?" And then we're all of a sudden in each other's faces. And that is like not me at all, like at all. He starts yelling at me, and then like I'm yelling at him. And this little gal named Rosario, one of our coworkers, she comes in between the two of us and like pushes us apart. I don't think anything has ever happened to me like that in my life since then or ever before. So that's probably why I remember it so clearly. And so, and we kind of separate from each other. But then, I tell you what, 10 minutes later, he's up on a ladder, and then he still starts criticizing me, yelling stuff down at like something else I did wrong. And then again, we start yelling at each other. And you know, and he's really just kind of egging me on and stuff, and somebody else comes and separates us. For a year, we barely spoke to one another. We climbed with all of the same people, except we would only climb with those people if one of the other of us was not present. That's how like ridiculous this stupid little rift was that we had between the two of us. And even when we worked together, we would just barely speak to one another. And then, as the Lord would have these plans laid out, more and more people that we knew were a little older, and they left. Some people transferred to other universities and stuff. And it just turned out that the only two people left that climbed at sort of a similar level to each other were Ron and me. And so there were just the two of us. And so, you know, it started out sort of gradually. We just found ourselves working together, and we were setting something. I was setting something, and he's like, hey, did you try, you know, doing this? I was like, oh, that's a good idea. Okay, yeah, let's switch that around and everything. And then, you know, a week later, he said to me, hey, I set a new route, the red one. Did you try it yet? And I said, oh, no, I haven't tried it, but I work today. I'll try it. And he's like, okay, great, you know. And then we start to work on things together. We start to talk a little bit more. Then we're like, gosh, we have all this good outdoor climbing. Surprisingly, in Central Texas, there's actually outdoor rock climbing all around that area. So we went out and like, oh, we should go out rock climbing together. So we went out and we started going out together and climbing together. And then we just got closer and closer. And then on a conversation in the car one day back from the rock climbing area, I said something like, oh, my lease is almost up. I need to find a new apartment. He's like, oh, yeah, you know, me too. My roommates are driving me crazy. I need a new apartment as well. And then as awkward as two men can be, dead silence in the car, so, like dead silence. And then he finally breaks the silence and he says, well, you know, we could probably live together. And I was just like, yeah, we could probably do that awkward silence again. And eventually we do end up moving in together. And some of the most beautiful things I have ever seen and done were with Ron at my side. He became one of my absolute best friends, and we climbed all over the world. Very first time I ever went to Europe was with Ron to go climbing in Switzerland. And you know, we endured a lot of suffering and beauty and fun together in my life. And the reason I tell that story is just because we just never know how the Lord is going to work. But reconciliation, actually forgiving one another and moving forward, can be like something that you never expected in your life. Now, at that time in my life, all I was just a Catholic that went to church on Sundays because my parents told me that that's what I had to do, right? You know, I wasn't thinking about being a priest or anything like that at that point in my life. But on those trips with Ron, I saw so many beautiful things. One thing we talk about as Catholics is the three transcendentals: truth, beauty, and goodness. Well, I saw a lot of the beauty in the world by some of the things I got to do in the outdoor world. And I was definitely in awe of the beauty that was out there in the world. And I actually was always attracted towards goodness. I wanted to do the right thing. But then, eventually, I tried to do a lot of things my way, and they didn't really go the way that I would expect them to, right? It was sort of like St. Peter knowing how to fish, going out in the boat, and doing it the way that he knew how to do it, right? And all of a sudden, Jesus comes and does it in a completely different way, and it reconfigures your life and completely throws it out of whack, right? And so I finally say to the Lord, Lord, I've done this my way. I want what you want. And I let him into the boat. That's exactly what happens for St. Peter. They let Jesus into the boat. They let him into their lives. And then remember, that I've heard it said this way before too, right? So they've been doing, their whole life, their whole profession is learning how to be fishermen, spending all that time in that outdoor environment. And then a carpenter comes along and tells them how to do their job, right? Like this is an awkward scenario, right? He's telling them, do fish now when that's not the time that you fish. You know, throw your nets here when that's not where you throw your nets. All of these different things that Jesus says. You know, Peter's like, you don't know what you're talking about, man. You know, that's like sort of the moment he has, right? But then he lets him into the boat and does something so out of the ordinary from his expertise. Everything that he knows to be true flips around, and he sees something that he has never seen before in all of his experience there. And what is his response to that? With the backdrop of God's grace, he sees the sinfulness of himself. Often it's described like this, right? We're driving in our windshield, when the sun shines on it, we can see all the little chips and the cracks and the smudges and the dirtiness on the windshield. So by the light of God's grace, he sees himself as he is. And what does he do? And for those of you who watch The Chosen, this is really depicted well in this scene. He drops to his knees and he says, "Lord, depart from me, for I am a sinful man." I've seen so many beautiful things, and this happened to me just the other day. Yesterday, actually, this happened to me yesterday. I listened to a lot of confessions, and I thought to myself, I have seen so many beautiful things in the world. I've seen so many beautiful things. But then I realized, I have never heard something as beautiful as somebody apologizing to God. I've never heard anything more beautiful than that. I cannot tell you how many times I have heard somebody utter the act of contrition, and it brings tears to their eyes, to my own as well. Some of you know what I'm talking about. All of a sudden, everything was fine in confession, and then you're like, oh my God, you know, and all of a sudden the waterworks come. And I sat there, I was like, I never heard anything so beautiful than somebody apologizing to the Lord. That's exactly that moment that Peter asked, depart from me, Lord, I am a sinful man. And he puts things in his hand. And in fact, from this first reading of Isaiah, that's exactly what's happening as well. When we look at this situation, what do we hear? You know, first, they cried out, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts, and all the earth is filled with his glory. Something that we say at every Mass. Holy, 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 Lord God of hosts. Heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. What does that mean? Hosanna means that we are rejoicing over the one that came to save us, to actually save us from sin and dig us out of the pit. And then what's said? Woe is me, I am doomed, for I am a man of unclean lips. In the Old Testament, this is just a way of saying, I am a sinner. There is a confession being made that I am a sinner. And then finally, when that angel comes down, that seraphim, he touched my mouth with this burning ember, this coal. See now that it has touched your lips. Your wickedness is removed, your sin purged. And then what happens after that? Sent forth. Every time God communicates with somebody that he gives a mission to, then they are sent forward to go do something. That's exactly what happens to St. Peter and his friends in that situation. Their life is completely transformed by something that they knew better than anybody. And they realize that they don't have any control. And they see their sinfulness in the light of God's grace. And it changes their life. They're able to reconcile with God. And once that happens, he sends them out. One of the things we often forget is that things begin in our life at the end of Mass. Every single one of the dismissals at Mass begins with, go. You know, go in peace. Go in peace, glorifying the Lord by your life. Go and announce the gospel of the Lord. So it's like, the way you let Jesus into the boat, he transforms you, and then you are sent out to bring that message to other people, how he transformed you. And you share that simply with other people. And it's amazing what that's like in our life, to see how he flips things upside down and he does things in a way that we never thought to do them. But that's what it's like to live in the light of grace. Instead of trying to have so much control over the way that we want to do something, to achieve things the way that we think we should achieve them, we actually let them go. And we give them up to the Lord so that he does them sort of through us. And then once that change happens, you know, then you're standing up here like me, right? You're like, there's no going back to the other side. And like I've told you before, like once that change happened for me, I couldn't shut up about it, and so then I became a priest, you know, because I was just like, I have to share this with everybody out in the world. And so it was a little closer for me to the situation of the apostles, where I was called to actually bring this to people in a formal way. When I looked at my, like, rock climbery self, I never imagined that would have been possible in me at all, that I was capable of any of that. But God just kept transforming my life. And that is what we are here for. We're here to let him into the boat and then share that with other people. The Catholic Church is the boat. And so we go out and we invite other people to get into the boat, to have their life transformed. And it might be scary and it might be difficult and it might be humbling. But if we let him do that, he will transform our lives in ways we never thought possible. And he will send us forth to transform other people's lives. God bless you all.